Welcome to the AT Parenting Survival Podcast, where you get help and guidance through the chaos of parenting a child with anxiety or OCD. This show is for educational purposes and is not intended to replace the guidance of a qualified professional. Here's your host, child therapist, Natasha Daniels.
Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode of the AT Parenting Survival Podcast. I am really excited to bring my guest on today. Dr. Tamar Black is really one of the go-to experts, I think, in acceptance commitment therapy with young children. And there are a lot of supports and therapies and approaches out there, but very few of them are geared towards younger children. And ACT was one of them, where I've had a few guests on who talk about ACT, and we're normally talking about older kids. Patricia's Rita Ona has been on, and Lisa Coyne has been on. I had Jamie Valdez on a long time ago. So all three of them have come on and talked about ACT. But I'm really excited to bring on Tamar Black, who has written a workbook for young kids to use acceptance commitment therapy type of approaches with our kids. And when she comes on, I had her just describe what ACT is in general, kind of the philosophy behind ACT, just to give you kind of a baseline understanding of the approach. And then we talk about how to use that and talk about that with younger children. And when I'm saying young, I mean under 12, you know, all the way as young as like 4 or 5. How do you adapt this? So before we get started, I have a couple of announcements. One, I actually have a free series coming up, so you don't want to miss that. And you can sign up for that. Registration has opened. We are going to do my survival series. And so it is survival tips for parents who are raising kids with anxiety or OCD. And in this free series, I will give you all the important ingredients that is needed to create a therapeutic home environment. And actually today we'll talk about a little bit about that as well, as far as what that looks like in the home. How are we supposed to respond as parents? And we dive deep into that in my free series. It's not an ACT series. I just happen to be talking about it on this episode, but you will get some really good concrete skills. You can sign up for that. It is free at atparentingsurvivalseries.com. I hope that you find that helpful. It's starting in just a couple of weeks when the series goes live. There are some on-demand videos for the series. You can watch them at your own time while the series is going, which is normally a 2-week period of time. We only normally have a temporary Facebook page that pops up, and we have a series website. You do not need to be on Facebook for this series. We will email you the videos, and there's a series website. So join us. I would love for you to join us. A lot of people join it every single time I do it, which tells me there must be something good about it. And you can sign up for free at atparentingsurvivalseries.com. I also want to thank NoCD for sponsoring this episode. NoCD offers affordable, effective, convenient therapy, and luckily they're available in the U.S. and outside of the U.S. You can schedule a free 15-minute consultation to see if NoCD is a right fit for you and your child. Just go to treatmyocd.com. That's treatmyocd.com, and I will leave a link in the show notes with those two things. I'm also going to leave a link for Tamar Black's book, which came out in January, and it's called The ACT Workbook for Kids. A super fun, engaging workbook. It's something I'm actually going to have my daughter do. She doesn't know that yet, but I think she'll be happy to do it because it's a very easy and entertaining and helpful workbook. And so I will leave a link in the show notes for that as well. I always like to mention it in the beginning and at the end, just so that you make sure that you get the name of the book if we're talking to a guest that has a really valuable tool. And she actually has a very valuable tool. So check out her workbook. And without further ado, here is my discussion with Dr. Tamar Black. Well, I want to welcome Dr. Tamar Black onto the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Natasha, for having me. It's great to be here. And it's lovely to meet you after reading your incredible work.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's amazing to have you here too. I've heard so much about you and I've never virtually met you. So it's very cool to connect finally. So today I want to talk about acceptance commitment therapy, ACT, And actually, I haven't done a lot of podcasts on this because, full disclosure, I'm not an ACT therapist. I don't know if that's not really like riveting. And I love the approach. It's just not something that I would call myself. And so I love to have people on here who have different modalities and perspectives to give us a really nice, beautiful, holistic approach to everything that we're dealing with. And you are really to me, the go-to person for children with ACT, for sure, with all your resources that you've put out there.
Thank you so much.
So I was just reading your new workbook, the ACT Workbook for Kids, and I love it. I was still doing private practice. I would use this all the time. It's very
Thank you.
practical and it's really helpful. I want to start, though, with just some general education for my audience as far as what ACT is, and what the approach is.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Look, really, in a nutshell, ACT is about accepting all of your thoughts and feelings and sensations and urges and memories and choosing the things that you care about and doing the things that are important to you. And I think probably like the number one most important part about ACT is that ACT doesn't focus on doing anything to get rid of difficult thoughts or feelings. And so it's different from cognitive behavioral therapy, which really focuses on replacing like negative thoughts with positive thoughts or avoidance using distraction. ACT doesn't advocate for distraction at all. ACT is all about accepting your thoughts and feelings and not letting them stop you from doing the things that are important to you.
Yeah, and I love that aspect of accepting your thoughts because I think no matter what a child is dealing with, learning how to accept those emotions, I think I just saw a comment yesterday on my YouTube channel from someone who has OCD and was saying, I've done the things that you're saying through my YouTube channel, and I'm still having intrusive thoughts. So now what? And I feel like ACT really addresses that. It's how do you sit with a discomfort? Those thoughts may come, they may go. That part we don't get to control, but how do you sit with that discomfort? And I think a lot of people don't realize with anxiety and OCD that part of it is acceptance that these thoughts are going to come. What do I do with those thoughts? That's sometimes the question.
Absolutely. And, we don't need to be fearful of our thoughts. And so I think particularly with anxiety, a lot of people get very, very scared when their mind is coming up with anxious thoughts and telling them that something bad is going to happen to them, or telling them that they're worried or that they're afraid and they like shouldn't go to school or shouldn't go like to sport practice or to a friend's house. We don't actually have to fear our thoughts. Like our thoughts are just words that our mind comes up with. Like they just start off as letters of the alphabet. Our mind puts them together to create sentences, but we don't actually need to be fearful of our thoughts, and we don't have to believe everything that our mind tells us. And I think that anxiety develops firstly when we believe that everything that our mind tells us is true. Like our mind does a great job of trying to protect us. And there are times when we should listen to our mind. Like if if you have the thought, I'm going to cross the road and I'm not going to walk to the traffic lights. And if your mind says, no, don't do that, that's not safe. There are a lot of cars, there's heavy traffic, you need to go to the traffic lights to cross. That's a time when we should listen to our mind. But our mind can come up with a lot of thoughts that are not true and can do like a really good job of really scaring us and convincing us that things are not safe or that something bad is going to happen if we do things. And we don't have to believe everything that our mind tells us, and we don't have to be worry-free in order to be able to do things. Like probably my number one fear, Natasha, is public speaking. I feel nervous about being here with you today, but my nerves or my worries about not doing a good job or saying the wrong thing, making a mistake, those thoughts can just come along with me doing this podcast is something that I really, really care about because I really want to help young people and I really want to help parents with strategies to help their kids and teenagers. And so being worried about doing the podcast didn't mean that I was going to email you and say, something's come up, I can't do it. The way that I manage my worries is to think about, okay, is there something about doing this podcast with Natasha that I care about? Yes, plenty. And so when my worries or anxiety shows up about the podcast, I can actually say, thank you so much, Mind, for reminding me that doing this podcast is something that I care about. And I can come to this interview with you and I can bring my worries and my nervousness with me. So I don't have to be worry or nervousness free in order to be able to do this. I can show up and my thoughts and feelings can come along with me.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great, wonderful example. And I totally can relate to that. You know, having social anxiety myself, I love that question of, you know, is there something that I'm valuing about this? Or is there something that I want? And often we're so focused on the negative and the negative feelings and the negative thoughts that it feels almost counterintuitive to ask ourselves in that moment, why am I doing this? Because that the noise in our head of don't do it, avoid it is so strong. And so it's a great tool to shift that thought.
Absolutely. And look, the reality is that anxiety doesn't feel good. We don't feel good when we're worried. We don't feel good when we're anxious. And often there's, you know, a whole lot of physical sensations that come along with feeling anxious. But anxiety can't actually hurt us. Like, as yucky as it might feel, and as much as we might want to shield our kids and protect our kids, feeling anxious can't actually hurt us and it can't actually hurt our kids. Yeah. And so if you can find something that's important to you about a situation or about an event, and look, you might not always be able to find something that's important to you. Like, you know, if you're a young person and you're really worried about doing a math test, for example, at school, there might not be anything about that test that's important to you, but maybe just going and doing that test because avoiding it might create more problems.
Mm-hmm.
You might fall behind. You might have your teacher constantly saying to you, you really need to sit that test. When are you going to do it? And so it might be that you care about getting it done so that it's done with and you can move on and focus on other things that you do care about.
Yeah. And I think that's a great example because I think sometimes parents get stuck on, you know, they don't really care about anything in that aspect, but the idea of it's going to be harder for me to get back to this. And I know my kids with anxiety and OCD get that. Feel like we've been living this situation. I always say that, like, I feel like I'm always living this situation, but there's a couple of things that I'm thinking about as you're saying this. One, I think getting our kids to recognize that avoidance actually will grow avoidance. I mean, that's when our kids deal with this over and over again, they'll start to make that connection. We're having a bump with my daughter right now because 2 weeks ago, so she had emetophobia. I always use my kids. We talk about my kids a lot on this podcast. But she had emetophobia 2 weeks ago. Well, she has had emetophobia, a very intense emetophobia when she was in second grade. And it's very tiny to the point where you're like, did that actually really happen? Was it ever really that bad? You know, and so until something happened. So 2 weeks ago, she threw up and it triggered a whole bunch of stuff. And so fast forward, we're like kind of in the crisis mode of it coming back super strong all of a sudden. And it's interesting because one of her things was, why is this happening? She was getting stuck on the why. Why is this happening? Why am I feeling this way again? And it was, you know, leaning into, and I'm not, you know, I keep saying I'm not an ACT therapist, but there's elements of ACT that I love. And one of them is this acceptance of your bodily sensations and acceptance of the anxiety. Like the rejection of anxiety in and of itself becomes its own struggle, because she kept saying, why is it? And it is back, you know, and it will come back once in a while. And it's a false alarm in your body. You're having a physical reaction. And you just have to accept that it is back. You have skills, but it is back. And this morning, as she's looking very pale, I think it's a good thing that you said too, as parents, because internally I am hyperventilating and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's not going to go to school. We are going to spin back out of control. And then it's very similar to what you just said. I had to say, she's not having a medical emergency, because in my mind, I thought, I got to keep my phone close to me today. What if she throws up on the way to like her class? And we can blow it up as parents where it feels, and sometimes they might pass out or they might throw up. I know with my kids, it might get physiological on that level, but even reminding ourselves it is not a medical emergency can be really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And reminding ourselves that hopefully our kids have got the skills to get themselves through it. I find probably with anxiety, like more than any other emotion, I think that's the number one emotion where parents really want to shield their child from it. But if we rush in and we promote avoidance and we give the message, you have to stay home. Like you can't go anywhere when you're feeling like this. That's teaching our kids to avoid. And that's not going to be a healthy or a helpful coping strategy long term. It is much better for our kids if we can give them tools to help them get through situations without having to avoid. And if we can empower them to feel that they'll be able to coach themselves through a situation, telling themselves that they felt like this before, they did get through it last time, even if it was like really yucky and it didn't feel great, they got through it. Nothing terrible is going to happen and they will get through this. And this feeling isn't going to last forever. Like often when people are anxious, they're terrified of feeling anxious, and that fear about feeling anxious is what drives anxiety, particularly for people who are prone to panic attacks. Like fear of the panic attack is probably the number one thing that's going to drive fear into having a panic attack. So I think if we want to help kids become resilient, teaching them to not fear what they're feeling in their mind, what they're thinking in their mind, and what they're feeling in their body is going to be a more helpful coping strategy long term that will take them towards being resilient.
Yeah, I agree. I think that can be really helpful. And over time, they build these skills themselves, and they're able to recognize that this is a false alarm, or that this is just a thought, or this is just a feeling, or that if I don't go to school today, then I'll never be able to go to school. I mean, my daughter, is at that stage where she's 12 and she's already been through this rodeo a couple of times, that it does become internalized with our kids when we teach them over and over again. It feels like it won't ever. I think when you're in the beginning of the trenches, you're just like, I'm going to have to do all the heavy lifting. They're not going to get it. But it is beautiful to see, even though you can have these kind of setbacks, that you have a child who's cheerleading themselves, and ironically with my daughter, I can't say you have to go to school. I'll say you don't have to go, but I wonder what will happen tomorrow or the next day. And just that non-forcing for her tends to work. Or like, she had to go to a birthday party and she really wanted to go, but again, the emetophobia, and it's, you don't have to go. It'd be really sad because your friends are looking forward to it, and I know you will have such a good time, but you don't have to. And her being able to recognize, I really care about my friends and I really care about the party and I really want to go, and my OCD is preventing me from going, and having that ability to make that connection. It was funny. I'll just tell you another story really quick. But she has a little OCD thing where she gets worried about ruining things, almost like kind of like emotionally contaminating stuff. And so she had a really rough Sunday, which I guess was yesterday. Wait, what day are we? Are we Monday? Yeah. My days merged together. It's kind of scary. And so she felt like she ruined yesterday, which she kind of did, with her anxiety and OCD. And she asked Echo, and I didn't know what she was doing. She goes, Echo, how many weeks are in 365 days? How many weekends? And Echo was like 50 something or whatever, I don't know. And then I was like, I don't know what she was doing. And she goes, well, I ruined one out of 50 something weekends, so that's not that bad. And she was doing her own, acceptance
Wow.
of okay, so I ruined this weekend. I'm not going to argue with myself that it was ruined. It was ruined. And it's okay. I can accept that. I just thought that was funny.
Wow. That's awesome.
So when we build these
Amazing.
skills, yeah, I feel like they can become automatic. Your workbook, I think, really helps solidify that for kids in a really kid-friendly way. Because I've always had a hard time, because I'm not an ACT therapist, of how do I take these skills that I could really apply in different ways in my life, but apply it to kids in a very concrete, deliverable way. And you really mastered that in this workbook that is so kid friendly. 8 to 12 year olds, is that the range?
Look, it's written primarily for 8 to 12 year olds, but it has a reading age of 5 to 12. So kids who read at a younger level, younger than 8, can read it. And I've been getting a lot of emails from parents saying oh, could I use this with my 6 year old or my 7 year old? And it's hard to predict what age child is going to be able to work with a book. And so I just say, give it a go. Parents can offer, if you want to do it with a younger child, a child younger than 8, parents could offer to read the book, read it with their child. There's a lot of activities in it, and there's some art and craft activities. There's a lot of activities that parents could do together with their child.
Yeah, I thought it was I could see it going pretty young. I know our publishers always want to put us in, we have to pick the age range.
Yes.
And so 8 to 12 is one of those age ranges that publishers put our kids in. But I feel like for my daughter who's 12, I could give her this book and she can work on it on her own, and it would be just a really good positive supplement to her therapy. But I could even see if I had a 4-year-old, the glitter tube activity and like the tree. I mean, I could make crafts and make related activities. A lot of them are actually already activities, that you could do as an arts and crafts project, but the metaphors are simple and the activities are simple. They have a lot of weight, so someone independently doing it, like my 12-year-old, I think they would get a lot of stuff from it. But I also think it would be a beautiful book. I feel bad for the younger kids because they get I think because we put these ages on things, there it doesn't seem like there's a lot of useful tools for the little kids. And I would say a highly like if your child is cognitively a higher level at 4 or 5, or you're a creative parent, this workbook would work really well.
Thank you. I just wanted to create something simple that kids could do at home. So, this is not a book that only kids who are having ACT therapy can use. I really wanted to create something that every child could use at home. And, it focuses on worry and sadness and anger. And so, if your child has any of those, I think we all at different times feel worried and feel sad and feel angry. And so I just wanted something, that the children could use at home that was simple, that was just written in simple kid-friendly language, because ACT can be quite complicated. And I
It
think it's
can.
why, it took me years to really understand ACT and feel like, I think I'm understanding what this is all about. And I had to really paraphrase and paraphrase to actually teach it to myself in really, really simple language.
Yeah, that's what I do appreciate because I think I'm anti-jargon. Like I just don't like jargon. Part of it is probably because I have like no memory, and so I can't remember the technical terms of any modality. And so the more jargon there is in a modality, a therapy modality, the heavier it feels to me. And you do a beautiful job of simplifying it, making it accessible. to the point where I'm like, oh, I get all this. This is beautiful.
It's time we put help directly in our kids' hands. Introducing Crushing OCD Course for Kids and Teens.
It was way more helpful than all the other therapy we've ever done because we didn't really know what to do. So we weren't really doing it before. So the course helped to figure out what the exposures are and how to do them.
We're not in therapy and find it really hard to find an ERP trained therapist here. So we're currently with like the public health service, but again, they don't seem to be trained in ERP. It's filled that gap that we don't have that was desperately needed.
This was really well timed for us to use between therapists and to help us like get off to a good start with this new practice.
It was easy to use. I was able to do it from my phone or also on the computer.
There's different ages, you know, so there were younger kids, there were teenagers, and so that was really nice too, to have a variety of ages where it wasn't just geared towards younger kids or older kids. It was a nice variety.
It's helpful for our kids to hear it from this like third party as opposed to just us saying it.
I really like the offense and defense method. I love working on poking at OCD while it's sleeping. It makes it a little bit easier to do and it's kind of fun. I'm planning on using it to work on my fear of like holding your touching batteries and stuff like that.
So it was really helpful and I think a lot of other kids would like it. I thought that I was like the only one who had worrying about the weather and stuff. And then there was somebody else on there who worried about the same thing, which was really helpful.
Seems less scary to work on stuff now that I've watched this class and I'm more interested to work on it.
I like trying to do more exposures still and going to, before I wasn't, I just didn't want to do them.
I've worked on some of my bigger compulsions and been successful.
I realized that it was helpful to do like the exposures before. It was like really, really hard. It's still hard, but it's helpful to know that I need to do them.
Before there would be a lot of battles about it. So it is definitely less loggerheads.
Really, really good course and super helpful.
Definitely would recommend this. It's really easy to follow. It's in nice bite-sized videos. I really like the worksheets that go along with it. And I think it's really helpful.
To learn more about this course and register your child or teen, go to atparentingsurvivalschool.com.
The other thing that's really helpful, and I'm glad you brought it up too, is this is not a clinical book. And I didn't really even know what to expect when I got my copy. And as I was going through it, I was like, this is a universal book. This is not an OCD book. It's not an anxiety book. It is, you have all these emotions. Any child can pick this book up and build resiliency. And so it's very applicable, I think, to any child's issues. And I like the way it covers anger and sadness because those emotions too are sometimes, we treat them in little boxes. You have an anxiety book, you have an OCD book, you know, you have an anger book, a regulation book. And the beauty of this workbook, it's you have big feelings and this is how you deal with those big feelings. And you speak to a level that young kids can get.
Thank you. I mean, I'm very, very passionate about doing preventive work and trying to teach kids good coping skills so that even if they're not having any difficulties coping right now, I want to give them tools that they can use if they're struggling in the future.
Yeah.
And so my hope is that my workbook will help kids develop good coping skills to help them become more resilient so that, yeah, even if they are struggling with thoughts and feelings right now or in the future, they've got tools that they'll be able to draw on that's in simple kid-friendly language, because if we don't use simple language, people are not going to remember it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I think having just a different relationship with emotions, because depending on your culture, there is this relationship with emotions where sometimes we don't want to acknowledge them or we see it as something wrong. You know, like I'm thinking of just, you know, grief, sadness. It's like, how do we quickly make someone feel better? Or anger, how do we get them to stop being angry? And what I like about this book is it kind of gives a new foundation that if you can get them young, accepting their thoughts, I'm angry. I feel angry. To be angry is okay. To be sad is okay. One of my favorite things that you say in the book is like, hello, scared, you know, like, hello, anger, you know, and like bring you with them. I do like that acknowledgement of, which is actually very different than what I teach. I'm much more like CBT, you know, cognitive reframing and exposure. I'm very like, and I love bringing on people who offer a different perspective or a supplemental perspective of how to view these things, because I think that that could be really helpful with kids. Because often our messaging inadvertently is communicating, stop being angry or stop being sad or stop being anxious. I don't think necessarily parents mean that, but we don't like maybe the behavior that's coming with those emotions, but the communication or the messaging can get mixed up in that.
Absolutely. And if we're telling, if the message that kids are getting is stop this, then they interpret that to mean stop feeling this. My feelings are harmful. My feelings are bad. My feelings are going to hurt me. So then they become like very anxious or very frightened when they do experience those feelings, because they're associating them with negativity. But if we can just teach kids that they can just regard their thoughts as another thought that their mind comes up with, like your mind comes up with so, so many thoughts, and your thoughts about feeling worried or feeling sad or feeling angry or whatever it is, they're one of your thoughts, but those thoughts can't hurt you. Those thoughts won't be with you forever. They will pass, and we can just notice them. We can let them come. We can let them go again. And if they come back again, we can just say, you know, hi, thought, it's great to see you. And knowing it will pass. But we actually don't have to do anything with it in terms of trying to get rid of it. And our thoughts don't have to stop us from doing things.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off of, I can't have this thought. Which I think a lot of people with OCD get stuck on is, I can't have this thought, or even my daughter in this moment, as I can't have these thoughts again. Why are these thoughts back? And so it takes away that pressure of worrying about why you're having these thoughts. And then you can focus on what to do with those thoughts, which I think can, you know, can save a lot of energy too, because you spin your wheels getting stuck on the thought.
Absolutely. And what are you missing out on mm-hmm. with the time that you're spending thinking about those thoughts and what's causing them and what are you going to do with them? And when you choose to avoid, when you choose not to go somewhere because of how big your feelings feel, what are you missing out on? Like, you know, you were saying before, like your daughter with the birthday party, she really cared about her friend. And if your child is worried about going somewhere that you know is safe, like I'm only talking about situations when we know it's low risk. I'm not talking about, you know, a child that like wants to go for a bike ride and not wear a helmet. I'm not suggesting that, you know, we say to them, oh yeah, like don't listen to your mind when it says you have to wear your helmet. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about situations that you know, we know are low risk, like, you know, going to their best friend's birthday party. But if they are worried and they're thinking about not going, we can say to them, is there something about going to your friend's party that's important to you or that you care about? And if you don't go, what will you miss out on? If you don't go, will you regret it? Like if kids then come to school on the Monday and they're talking about the party and how great it was, will you be wishing, will you be thinking, I wish that I had gone?
Yeah, it helps to really reframe that and get them to look at it in a different sort of way, which I love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, yeah, if we can get kids to, you know, identify what it is that they care about, are they going to miss out on something if they avoid that situation? And how about you go, give it a go, and your worries can go with you. You don't have to be worry-free in order to go to the party. It's okay. But we can also normalize going to a party that, you know, you can let your child know, like, I get worried before going somewhere new, or I get worried before going to a party too. Like, I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know, like, if I'm going to have anyone to talk to. That it's okay. Like, that's really normal. But those worries can go with you. Those worries don't have to stop you from going to the party.
Yeah, I love that.
And like, maybe you can come up with a plan with your child that, you know, if something goes wrong, if you're feeling like you really can't be there, let's come up with a plan. Like, could you go to your friend's parent and get them to call me? Make sure that your child knows your number. Or could you text, say to your child, like, how about I text your friend's parent and just say, here's my number, in, you know, in case you need to contact me during the party. Have a bit of a plan for what, you know, what your child can do if things are not going well and they feel like they need you to come and get them.
Yeah, and that's a good point too, so that there are some practical plans in place in case that they are not feeling like they can do it, because it's this ebb and flow of going towards brave things. Maybe it's too far and they can't handle it. And then as a parent, how we handle that too. I know my daughter had her phone on her and I wanted to text her, you know, about 30 minutes in to see like, how is she doing? But I felt like that's my anxiety, right? Yes. She knows how to reach me. And if she was having a crisis, she would absolutely reach me. And the adults had my phone number too. And so I think it's a two-parter. And I almost feel like, you know, you can use this ACT approach for yourself too, of it's normal for me to be anxious, you know. It was scary to see her look like she was about to pass out. And I'm going to have my anxiety and now I'm going to go do my next thing because she can reach me if she needs to. And that is so hard as a parent.
Yeah, it is. It can be hard to let go. And I think that we can ask ourselves this strategy of what I'm wanting to do, like message them at the party and check in with them. You know, like, what's the purpose of that? Is that, would I be doing that to reassure myself that she's right. okay? And right. am I going to be doing that in 10, 20 years?
Right. And what is it conveying to her? If
exactly.
You know, am I telling her that I felt like she can't handle it? And my
exactly.
behavior communicating that. Yeah.
Exactly. And what it's doing is it's creating a dependency of her being dependent on you. And yeah, no news is good news. Like, if you don't hear from them, they're having a good time and, you know, they'll be happy to tell you all about it. Or, you know, maybe they won't give you a lot of details when you pick them up. But yeah, no news is usually good news.
Yeah, exactly. And it was. So, and I got no news today either, the whole day at school, and I was waiting for the nurse to call me. So yeah, I
wow,
think
that's awesome.
Yeah, you can use these approaches. Well, she, you know, I think she is inadvertently using a lot of ACT skills. You know, she knew that if she didn't go to school today, that it would, she's been there before. She knows the more I don't go, the more it's going to be hard for me to go. And accepting those physiological things, which are so hard, the nausea and like the cold sweats, that stuff is so hard to work on. But I'm going to give her your ACT workbook for kids and see if she can do it as an extra supplement, because I love it and I think it's going to be really helpful. Where can people get your workbook?
Yeah, look, in the US it's available from lots of places. So Amazon have it, the New Harbinger Publications, who are the publisher, you can get it from their website, and then local booksellers, Target, Barnes and Noble. If you just Google the ACT workbook for kids, it's really available all over.
Yes, and I will leave a link in the show notes so people can get to Amazon and buy it. I do think it's a really great thing to have in your toolkit. I think every child could benefit. So thanks for writing it. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'd love to hear from you some feedback about what your daughter thinks of it and how she finds using it.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'm sure she'll be thrilled to do it.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you found that helpful. I really love to hear from other people and their perspectives. I really like the ACT approach. I mean, I am a diehard cognitive behavioral therapist and ERP therapist, but ACT is a fantastic supplement, in my opinion. And it is really a way of life. It's a way of looking at things. It's a way of engaging with your emotions and your thoughts. And I think it's a fantastic supplement for life, regardless of whether your child has anxiety or OCD. So even maybe your kids that don't have anxiety or OCD, these are just really good life skills. So I hope that you find her workbook helpful. You can check it out. It's the ACT Workbook for Kids, easy title, and I will leave a link in the show notes so that you guys can grab a copy of that. Also, just a quick reminder, don't forget that I have my free series coming up. I do it twice a year, and this is one of those times. It is survival tools for parents who are raising kids with anxiety or OCD. They are on-demand videos that you can watch at any time during the series, which is opening in a couple of weeks. And I also do bonus live classes, and we kind of make it fun. I do raffles and all sorts of stuff. I have a lot of people who take it every single time I do it, and they actually take all my series. I have two of them, and they take them each time. I can tell because they join, and I can see that they've joined before. And I love that because that tells me that people are finding value, and not only are they finding value, but they want to remember what we talked about, and they want that reset. And so join us. It is free, and you can register at atparentingsurvivalseries.com. Join before you forget, so that when we do start to open it up, you won't forget about it or not hear about it, and then you miss it, and that'll be sad. I hope that you're finding the podcast helpful. If you are, don't forget to hit a star on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you consume your podcasts. A star is a star, and it really helps our show. And I say our, and I mean my. Why do people talk in plurals? I'll never understand that. So yeah, do that. I appreciate it. If you leave a review, I will be reading it. I am batching a whole bunch of episodes right now, and so I keep saying nobody's left reviews, but to be honest, I'm recording these like some of these back to back. This is my second podcast episode today. So if you have left a review recently, it's not that I'm not seeing it. It's that this was recorded back in the past, way in the past. So thank you for that. I appreciate those of you that do leave reviews. And I hope that you find the sparkle in everything you do. And I'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the AT Parenting Survival Podcast. To get additional support raising a child with anxiety or OCD, visit Natasha's online school of on-demand classes at atparentingsurvivalschool.com.